is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week we conclude the series, And Men Love the Darkness. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Jake Hess, James Blackwood, and Glenn Payne with Then I Met the Master, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the light.
In one key passage, he gives sort of the main doctrine, the real doctrine of the satanic rebels. In the novel, a man named Jones is speaking to another character named Sir John, the main character. And Sir John's mind is sent reeling by what he reads that's given to him by this man. And by the way, supposedly, this is a summary of the of a group called the Ordo Templi Orientis, the Order of Oriental Templars, which is, you know, a satanic secret society. And they had rules. They have commandments, a way of behaving. And supposedly in this novel, Mask of the Illuminati, to become a member of this secret society or occult society known as the Ordo Templi Orientis, you must sign 3 copies of a very peculiar document. And here's what the document says. It says, first, there is no God but man. Man has the right to live by his own law. Man has the right to live in the way that he wills to do. Man has the right to dress as he wills to do. Man has the right to dwell where he wills to dwell. Man has the right to move as he will on the face of the earth. Man has the right to eat what he will. Man has the right to drink what he will. Man has the right to think what he will. Man has the right to speak as he will. Man has the right to write as he will. Man has the right to mold as he will. Man has the right to carve as he will. Man has the right to work as he will. Man has the right to rest as he will. Man has the right to love as he will, where, when, and with whom he will. Man has the right to kill those who would thwart these rights. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, they gave a sort of a shorthand statement of this very code. It was called "Do Your Own Thing." A little Texas twang there. Do your own thing. Hey, man, do your own bag. March to the drummer as you want to. Crowley said the same thing. Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan said the same thing. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you will. Now, you may think that this is an odd thing because there's so many conventions and traditions that, you know, men must conform to, it seems like. And a lot of people work very hard just to escape all of the, you know, conformities. They try to escape the traditions and do their own thing. But if you go too far, dear friends, that you can violate the laws of God. But see, in the secret society, they said there is no law of God. There's only man's law. So man is God. This is anarchy. Every man doing as he will. The Bible warns of men who do what is right in their own eyes. Somebody came to me one time and dared me to find anything wrong with the literature of Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, you dare me to find something wrong with it? Find one thing that's unbiblical about it. You cannot, they said. I said, well, give me, what do you believe in Alcoholics Anonymous? He said, we have 12 steps. Well, show me your 12 steps, I said. That's simple. I noticed right away, one of the earliest steps said that you must believe in God as you understand him. Another step said that you must believe or turn your life over to a higher power. I said, God, as you understand him, what if you understand him as Satan? Well, the man says, well, then I guess you'd have to worship Satan. Well, what's the name of your higher power, I said. He said, well, he doesn't have any name. It's whatever anybody wants to give him. It can be Ramakrishna. It can be Mother Goddess Kali. It can be Allah. It can be Jesus, whatever name. You can take your own self as God. Tex Mars can be your own higher power. So I said, so I can worship myself in AA. They said, oh, well, yes. I said, well, I could just take this military boot over here and call that my higher power. Well, yeah. And I wanted to laugh. And you think this is biblical? You think this is what God wants? That wasn't much longer, not too long after that, then somebody called me from San Antonio, Texas. They were trying to help a young man, reform from being an alcoholic. And the pastor told him, well, take him down and introduce him to Alcoholics Anonymous. They'll help him. The church didn't have anything to do with it. We can't help him, but take him to Alcoholics Anonymous. They'll help him. Hey, friends, if the Christian church can't help a man get rid of the sin and vice of alcoholism, you think some man organization built by men, founded by men, can do anything at all? Are you out of your head? You're crazy? So they did. They took him down there. Now, it just so happened that this young man not only was an alcoholic, but he was a Satan worshiper. And they asked Alcoholics Anonymous, can you help us? Can you help rehabilitate this young man from our church? And the director, the head of that particular chapter of AA in San Antonio, Texas, sure we can. They said, well, we want to make sure that you'll help this man because he really needs God in his life, they said. Because he worships Satan. And the head of the Alcoholics Anonymous, the chapter there, said, oh, just a moment now. We can't tell him what God to worship. We can just tell him that he should worship the God of his own understanding, the higher power of his choice. You see, they were a pro-choice group. And if the man wanted to worship Satan, the young man, that was his choice. They were not going to try to convert him to any other God. That was his God. The people from the church were absolutely flabbergasted. They had heard me criticizing Alcoholics Anonymous on the radio, and they called me to tell me, well, Tex, you were absolutely right. Turning over this young man for help to them was like turning him over to the devil. Well, the devil already had him in his grasp. Now, listen to me, friends. Some people say, well, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a libertarian. I do what I want. I do when I want. I do with whoever I want. I'm a libertarian. I read books by Ayn Rand, A-Y-N Rand. I read the Atlas Shrugged book, and boy, I tell you, I believe in, she has a religion. It's not like an old, ugly, stupid Christianity. It's called objectivism. I like to be objective. Well, I've read all of Ayn Rand's works. She's not objective. Are you kidding me? Her philosophy is narcissism, selfishness. Her religion, Ayn Rand in The Fountainhead, but especially in her seminal book, the number one book that she wrote, number one bestseller, Atlas Shrugged. All the way through it, it's almost like you keep reading over and over. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do what is pleasurable and selfish so that you can have your best life now. Sounds like something Joel Osteen may have written too. There's no such thing as altruism. Follow your own selfish ends. Objectivism. That's her philosophy. Recently watched a movie, Wanda and I, about Ayn Rand, and evidently it was a true movie. Really showed her everything from her sexual wickedness. She had a swinger lifestyle. Tried to steal other women's husbands. For a while, she had an affair with a Rothschild. Philippe de Rothschild. When she died, they laid her body in a coffin in this room, and people, you know, that just almost worshipped Ayn Rand and her writings came and saw her coffin. And right beside the coffin, I'm telling you the truth, they had a great big poster made up. And it had a symbol on it. And when you ask, I guess you'd call him the funeral director or whatever, the people that were there, why do you have this symbol on a poster, on an easel, or, you know, right there, right by her coffin? They said, well, that's what she believed in. That's what she wanted. That symbol signifies what she believed in. Friends, would you like to know what that symbol was at her funeral or service? She didn't really have any service because she didn't believe in heaven or hell. She just believed in do whatever you want to right now. Whatever pleases you right now. I'll tell you what her symbol was that signified her life. It was a dollar sign. A dollar sign on a great big poster right by her coffin, her casket. Well, you know, Karl Marx said the God of the Jews is money. A famous Jewish writer back in the 19th century, Heinrich Heine, said money is the God of the Jews and Rothschild is his prophet, the prophet of money, Rothschild. Ayn Rand was Jewish. She was a Jew. She had an affair with one of the Rothschilds even. And you think this woman is going to give you the philosophy, I'm a libertarian. Well, even Ron Paul was once a libertarian. I believe in rugged individualism, doing whatever you want. Well, the head of the Church of Satan believed that. Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book to the first great rebel, Lucifer, believed in that. And friends, that's Lucifer's doctrine. And that's the Illuminati's doctrine. Robert Anton Wilson was correct in his book, Mask of the Illuminati. That is the satanic doctrine. No wonder they have the S. I think that stands as the dollar bill sign. That stands for Satan with two lines going down it. What do those two lines stand for? I think one stands for the Father, one stands for the Son. The father of hell, Satan, and his son, the Antichrist. That's the two vertical lines going down the S on the dollar symbol. By the way, Ayn Rand's real name was Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. You can read about that in Wikipedia or any other encyclopedia. Why did she change her name to Rand? Well, she typed on a typewriter that was made by the Remington Rand Company. So she just adopted the last name there, Rand, as hers. Her first name was Allison, so she said, I think I'll call myself Ann. But not like Ann, A-N-N, it should be Ayn, A-Y-N. Friends, I'm telling you, this woman loved the darkness. She embraced the darkness. And I hope she got plenty of money while she was in this world, because you can't take it with you, said the Apostle Paul. I've heard of people, I heard one man in West Texas said, when I die, I want you to take me, put me in the front seat of my Cadillac convertible, and bury the whole thing. I understand they did. They dug a big hole, put him in the front seat of his Cadillac convertible car, and buried the whole thing in the ground. He tried to take it with him. Well, I bet you it's not in very good shape today if you dig it out. Rusted, decaying, just like his body. But his spirit is somewhere else. His soul, it's gone. Those were just artifacts, his body and his car. You know, it's interesting, in the New Age movement, which is an occult movement, of course, and I've written many books exposing it. Wanda wrote New Age Lies to Women. I wrote Dark Secrets of the New Age, Mystery Mark of the New Age, Ravaged by the New Age, New Age Cults and Religions, many books exposing it. It's interesting that even as they say they're the light bringers, the light workers, and their God really is Lucifer, who they call the angel of light. Nevertheless, they have a doctrine which says the way to true happiness is to embrace the darkness. Isn't that strange? I think I mentioned this on the air before, had a real good friend of mine from old Air Force chaplaincy days. John and his wife came to see me some years ago. I said, John, you going to church now? He said, yeah, I go to an Episcopal church. Or he said, but we're thinking of leaving. I said, really? Why? Well, he said, you know, we've always been Episcopalians, but our pastor went off to some seminar in New Mexico. They had a New Age seminar that taught them things. I said, yeah. And when he came back, he started preaching to us about everything he had learned. He said it changed his life. I said, really? Well, what did they teach him there? Well, they told him, and they taught all the Episcopal pastors that were there, that Jesus had a shadow. He wasn't all light. He had a dark shadow. And that all of us, all as human beings, are made up both of light and darkness. And that we each, as a human being, have our shadows. And the only way to true happiness is to merge, amalgamate, consolidate the dark and the light in one person. You know, you become like a Morphinite, both light and dark. I said, well, that's what the Freemasons teach. They even have a checkerboard floor, black, white, alternating. They have a double-headed eagle, two heads on one body. That's what the Orientalists tell you, yin and yang, black and light. And they want you to merge them together. And in the satanic Jewish Kabbalah, they teach that a person to truly be holy must do as much sin as possible. Only a person who has tasted evil can be holy. To taste the maximum of evil brings purity. Well, I guess Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin and Hitler and all the other monsters of history, they've been pure people then, obviously. You see, this is what the occultists do. They hide things. They seek to embrace the shadows, the darkness. No wonder our dollar bill hid a secret obverse side or reverse side. Everybody thought until 1935, well, the great seal of the United States is the eagle with a star on top of it, the six-pointed star, which is a story in itself. Look at your $1 bill. On the right-hand side, you have the great eagle of the United States and the six-pointed star over its head, and that's called the great seal of the United States. But nobody knew that there was a hidden reverse side of it. And on 1935, Franklin Roosevelt, on the advice of his Secretary of Agriculture, of all people, Henry Wallace, who like FDR was a high-level Freemason, they put the Masonic symbol, which was the reverse side. Our founding fathers gave us a reverse side, a hidden side of our great seal. And the great seal tells you what the country stands for. Now, the eagle supposedly is a sign of God. But on the reverse side, there's the all-seeing eye of Osiris, the sun god of Egypt, and the pyramid of Egypt, and the inscription in Latin, Novus Ordo Seclorum, or New World Order. 1935. It came out of the dark. Inventors of evil things. What are we to do about these things, dear friends? Well, I think Jesus said it best. He said, if thine eye be single, then your whole body will be full of light. Be single-minded in your devotion to God, dear friends. Let God live through you. Let him inhabit your body, and your body will indeed. Your mind, your heart will be full of light, as he is the light. I love what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine, O Lord. That's the will that we need to seek. That's the light of the world. It can change a man or a woman forever. And it can, and only that light can bring true happiness, true joy forever and ever.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.